This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Teenie LaMoth has traveled the country to learn how to make the best pies. Her new book is Teenie's Tour of Pie, a cookbook mastering the art of pie in 67 recipes. She joins me on Cincinnati Edition today to talk pie. Hello, Teenie.
Hello.
Well, this is such an interesting story about, first of all, I'd like to talk about how you got started with the idea of pie, and it started way back when you were little with your mom.
It sure did. We were very much a pie-baking family. My brother and I always asked for birthday pie instead of birthday cake, and most often I was right alongside my mom baking pies. She would give me the scraps, and I would press them into small, teeny tins. I had my own rolling pin, and I learned at a very early age that pie was my favorite dessert.
So you'd been making pie all those years growing up, but you decided you didn't really know exactly how to make a pie, is that right?
Well, I didn't know how to make pie in bulk. I decided that I wanted, at the end of the day, to open my own pie shop somewhere. Like, that was the ultimate goal. And so it's a very different thing to bake for your friends than it is to bake for a business. And so I wanted to learn the art of baking pie for a business as well as small business owning. And specifically, I wanted to learn from lady bakers. Like, I wanted to know women who had done this so that I could make them my mentors and we could talk about it.
Because you talked about going to an actual culinary school and decided you'd have to learn too many other things and you really just wanted to focus on pie. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that there's absolutely something so wonderful about pastry school. I think it's important to learn all the basics, but I also knew that I really wanted to specialize in pie, and I was going to learn that better by doing, by apprenticing other pie bakers as opposed to going to school.
So how did you get started? I mean, there are pie shops all over the country. How did you pick the ones you wanted to look at?
I just Googled the best pie shops in the United States and then sent a million emails.
And it took a little while. You were about to start and you weren't sure where you were going to start. Why don't you tell us what happened and what you were offering in order to learn what you were offering back to these pie shops?
Where I was offering a month of free work. So I would go to whatever city the specific pie shop was in, and I would work for free for a month in exchange for learning how to make pie in bulk, as well as like a few sit-down sessions about small business owning. And so I had emailed about 30 different pie shops and hadn't heard back from a single one, and was starting to panic, realizing that bakers didn't necessarily read emails. And so finally, one day, I got a response from Danny Cohn, who owns High Five Pie in Seattle. And she was my very first yes. And she was so not only enthusiastic about pie, but enthusiastic about the trip in general. She thought it was just a very cool idea. And I think in some ways, she was as excited to find someone as passionate about pie as she was. So it was a wonderful first stop.
Well, you know, a pie can be divided up into all of its pieces and parts, but I think the part that scares everyone the most is the crust. And you really were out to find the best crust and the best way to make it. And really, it seems you found a variety of crusts to work with. Why don't you tell us how you perfected making that pie crust?
Sure, absolutely. I think what was wonderful about this trip is that each bakery had their own version of their crust, their idea of a perfect crust. And so it was really freeing. It was like, oh, it doesn't necessarily need to be made one way or the other. I can pick and choose the ingredients that I want to make this pie crust perfect for me. So my pie crust is a combination of all-purpose flour and whole wheat flour because it has a certain nuttiness that I really like. And I use butter and shortening. Shortening makes for a much flakier crust, and the butter adds a richness of flavor that I really enjoy. And then I also I use a little science trick. I use vodka along with ice water, and vodka evaporates faster than water. So again, it makes for a much flakier final result.
Now, I know a lot of folks, I've heard the vodka trick before, but they worry that it's going to taste like vodka. Does it leave any aftertaste on the crust?
No, not at all. It bakes right out.
And what does it do to really help it? Why is vodka so much better than water?
Not only does it make for a flakier crust, it makes it more pliable, which is really helpful with the whole wheat flour, because sometimes the whole wheat flour can get a little dense. And so that extra pliability is really nice when you're trying to roll it out. Then you're not struggling to make it fit in the pie tin. You're not struggling to get it up off the counter. As long as you use enough flour when you're rolling out, it really makes for a pliable dough.
So as you're rolling out the pie dough, one of the problems I always have with mine is I don't ever get it quite round. It's oblong or it doesn't quite fit the pan. How do you make sure that dough is going to be round when you're done rolling?
I've rolled out my fair share of funny shaped pie crust amoebas, but I think it helps to start with a circle. So if you form the dough into a circle, you know, a round disc before you even start, you're ahead of the game. So as long as you start with a circle, and then I roll out in the traditional sort of X shape. You know, you go from one corner to the other, and you rotate a little bit and go from another corner to the next, so that the whole while you're sort of keeping a very even roll into a circle.
Now, in the book you talk about growing up, you used a roller rolling pin, one with the handles, and you just sort of push down mm-hmm. and it rolled. And then there's the French rolling pin, which you're doing the pushing. What's the preference and what's the benefit or the pros and cons of each one of those?
I would say my personal preference is a roller rolling pin. I think it requires a little less work. And also, I think the dough in the book is a little softer than some other pie crust doughs, so you don't really need to work very hard to get the dough to roll out, which is where a roller pin, I think, allows for a little lighter touch. So I think that is much nicer for the little the firmer crust.
And as you're rolling out this dough and getting it ready, you have a couple of other tricks that you use. And there's something to be said for keeping things cold. And you want that butter to sort of get pea-shaped in with the flour and all those sorts of things. Why is it important that crust be kept cold as you're working on it?
I think there's a couple of reasons. You want the butter to stay cold because those little pea-sized pieces end up being the flakes in the crust later on. So those layers of butter, those little circles of butter, end up melting when they bake, and that's what leaves the air pockets of flakiness. And then, you know, I'm a big fan of making the dough ahead of time and letting it rest overnight in the fridge. It just allows the gluten to rest so that, again, you're not looking for a tough crust where you're overworking it. So if it has plenty of time to rest in the refrigerator, you don't have to work as hard to roll it out, and therefore, you know, you could cause a tough crust if you're overworking or over-rolling the dough.
You talk in the book about sort of the history of pie, and one of the things you mentioned I thought was interesting is that years ago when pies were first started, the crust wasn't meant to be eaten. You called it a lunchbox. Can you give us that history?
The crust was not even a part that people ate. It was a lunchbox. It was a way of transporting your meat and your potatoes and your gravy to work, where you would take the top half of the crust off and you'd throw it away, and then you would eat your lunch out of the crust and then toss the rest. It was really just a mode of transportation until somebody realized that it could taste good.
I'm talking with Teenie LaMoth. She's the author of Teenie's Tour of Pie, a cookbook. And we are talking about her quest to travel the country learning how to make pie. I think when people think of pie, you certainly think of apple pie. That's the American way. And you think of berry pies, all sorts of fruit pies. You brought up some things in the book I hadn't thought about, and those are sort of the savory pies. Tell us about those and how they might be used.
Sure. I think we all grew up, well, I don't know. I think I definitely grew up eating you know, Marie Callender's sort of chicken pot pies from a package. And so when I was writing this book, I started to think about what was a dream savory pie, and what was like the best possible version of that savory pie. And what would I want in a perfect savory pie? So I think I think that's why I was really interested in adding kale and white beans to my, you know, traditional chicken pot pie. And actually, one of my favorite recipes to ever come up with was Thanksgiving dinner pot pie. Thanksgiving dinner is my favorite meal of all time. So inventing a recipe that tasted like that meal was so fun. And I don't think you can ever go wrong with stuffing crumble.
You also talk in there in the book about even different toppings you can put on all the pies. You don't always have to put a crust on top.
Very, very true. I think if you make a chicken pot pie and you want to add stuffing because you love stuffing, you should go for it. And I think, you know, what's nice about the crumble section is you can mix and match, right? Like if you want to make an apple pie, you can top it with a top crust, or you can, there's an oat and nut crumble, which is really fun. And then another savory with a untraditional crumble is the Reuben pie. It's got a rye bread crumble. And a Reuben pie is essentially like a Reuben sandwich, but better because it's a pie.
Speaking of sort of that sandwich or that single serve, you make what's known as the teeny pie, I assume named after yourself there. And tell us what's in a teeny pie, how does it work differently, and how do you serve it, and why is that better than a regular 10-inch pie?
Well, in the case of savory pies, I think that individual size pies are better because when you try and cut into a large savory pie, there's lots of gravy and goop, and, you know, I think there's something to be said about an individual-sized savory pie. It's much easier to eat and heat up and things like that. But what's sort of fun are the teeny sweet pies. It's like an individual serving size of a sweet pie. And it sort of harkens back to my childhood where I was given my own size tins alongside my mom. And we would make our own pies, and I would make a small version of her large version. So each of the recipes, they're marked in the books with a little teeny pie symbol. So any of the fillings that are marked teeny pies, it will make a traditional 9-inch pie filling, but it will also, if you choose, will make a teeny size as well.
In the book, you talk about the various tools of the trade, things you need to make the pie. But one of the things you stressed is, you know, if you don't have all the perfect tools, you can still make pie. Why don't you share that with us? Because I think there are some folks who maybe aren't regular cooks and don't have every KitchenAid mixer or a pastry detailing, and they still want to go and make a pie. What can you do if you don't have all the special tools?
You can still make pie. I spent a year being a pie vagabond, essentially like living out of one suitcase, and you can still make a lot of pie with almost nothing. You know, I would recommend using a rolling pin, but if you don't have one, an empty wine bottle works really great. and, you know, I think that a pastry cutter will certainly expedite the process, but you can always use a fork or a knife or your fingers even. I just think, you know, people get very caught up in needing all the tools, but at the end of the day, you can make pie pretty much anywhere with anything, if you have the will.
You also talk about the varying ways to fix the crust, and my mom always made the pie with the perfect fluted edges, and I never learned how to do that, and I always feel like my pies don't look as pretty. Is there something you can do to make your pie look good if you're not talented and can't do all the fancy stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's why cookie cutters were invented, in fact. I would say that if you want to roll out your top crust and you put a beautiful star cutout, you know, that's an easy fix. You just pop a little cookie cutter right in the center, and then, you know, if you don't want to do the fluted edge, you can always use a fork. Just as long, I mean, essentially the crimp is a way to seal in those delicious fillings so they don't bubble all over your stove. So if you're pressing them together and you're sealing with a fork, that works just as well. I would say, though, that the fork detail, like if you're using a fork tines to seal the edge of your crust, it's going to brown a lot faster than the rest of your crust. So you may want to cover it with tin foil while you bake it. But essentially, you can do pretty much anything. You don't have to do any sort of crimp at all.
What's your favorite pie?
Sour cherry pie.
Sour cherry. And you said there are a few in there. It wasn't chess pie, but there was one that you didn't care for, some kind of lemon pie. What was that? I thought there was one that you said just wasn't your favorite. Did you find any you just didn't like as well?
that just didn't make it into the book?
Yeah, I have a hard time with the very, very sweet pies. I think chess pie is hard for me because it's all sugar. I think if you add lemon, it certainly helps. I think any time a pie is sort of overly sweet or overly sugar, it's not my favorite. But I also have recipes to sort of counteract the overly sweetness. Like bourbon bacon pecan, I was determined to make pecan pie a little less sweet for myself. And so that's where the addition of bacon came in.
Everything's better with bacon, they say, right?
Isn't that? Yeah, I agree.
What are you doing now? You finished your tour. You've made it across the country. What are you doing now that the book is done?
The book took about a year, and I just recently, about 6 months ago, opened my own small business here in Washington, D.C.
So you're making pies every day?
I'm making pies every day. I own a company called Teeny Pies, and I am baking out of a communal kitchen, like a food incubator in D.C., and it's been wonderful. I feel like I'm so much better able to talk about the book and these recipes and making pie with people because I do it every day. It's really wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking about pies with Teeny Lamoth. She's the author of Teeny's Tour of Pie, a cookbook. Today's technical director was Rick Andres. And we had help also today from Bruce Ellis. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. We also had help today from Kevin Reynolds. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.